I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. As we think of God's will, I have no idea what God's will is for you. But once again, I know that by looking in the Word of God, that God knows His will for you. And as we study the Word of God, we find that in our lives, we sometimes do things that are really not in God's will. And sometimes we just don't do what God's will is for our lives. Well, first, I want us to notice that it is God's will for us to rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice evermore." Well, who is to rejoice? And by studying the Scriptures, I find that the righteous are to rejoice. In Psalm 33:1, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." And then Psalm 68:3 says, "But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice." Well, who are the righteous? And those people who are righteous are those who have been saved by trusting Jesus for salvation. They are the righteous. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us." Not speaking about Christ. God made Christ to be sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Romans 5:19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Well, the Bible speaks there of one man's disobedience, and of course that was Adam. He sinned willfully against God and plunged mankind into sin. That's original sin. "But by the offense of one shall many be made righteous." And that is speaking, or the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That's speaking of Jesus Christ. He was obedient to the death of the cross. And because he gave his life for us, we can be saved and on our way to heaven. Who are the righteous? Those people who trusted and trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, we are to let people know we have been redeemed. In Psalm 107 and verse 2, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Of course, the enemy is the devil. We'll see something about him in just a few moments. But it is God's will that we rejoice not only because of being righteous. Not only the righteous are to do this, but we're to rejoice in salvation because we are saved. In Psalm 13:5 it says, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in" what? "Thy salvation." Whose salvation do we rejoice in? I see by looking into the Word of God that it's God's salvation we rejoice in. He's the one who gives us His salvation. He is the one who saves us. In Psalm 13:5 it says, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in" what? "Thy salvation." Some people try to keep themselves saved because they're trusting in their salvation when it's God's salvation they need to be trusting in. God's salvation saves. In Psalm 20 and verse 5 it says, "We will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions." When I say that people are trusting in their own salvation, that means they're trusting in their own works, their own way of, they think, of going to heaven. It's only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that any of us are saved and on our way to heaven. Well, we are to rejoice because God gives us His salvation through the gospel. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Now, it becomes our salvation when we trust God for His salvation. And that verse goes on to say in Ephesians 1:13, "In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, You receive the Holy Spirit right then, and you are sealed by that Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Well, when is that day? That day is when this breath leaves the body, and we go to be with the Lord, whether it be this body's breath leaving, or whether we are caught up in the clouds to be with the Lord in the air, and that's the rapture of the church. Whatever it is, and whenever it happens, that is the day of redemption, that it's fully complete then. This old body's changed. Well, those who are saved can rejoice because I see that we are now the sons or the children of God, according to John chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This should bring joy to your heart, and you should be rejoicing because 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We need to rejoice in the Lord today. We don't have to wait until we see Jesus Christ, because one of these days we are going to see him. But as we think of that, that should bring joy to our hearts, knowing that we are going to see him as he is. And the Bible says that now are we the sons of God. We don't have to wait till we see Jesus Christ personally or God personally, because right now we are the children of God. I want you to notice something else. Those who are not saved, those who have not trusted God for his salvation, cannot rejoice, because in John chapter 8 and verse 44, the Bible says, those who are not saved are not children of God. But this may shock some of you, and it may irritate some of you, but the Bible is true. It says that those who are not saved, they're not the children of God, but children of the devil. John 8, 44 says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Just as those who receive Christ become children of God, according to John 1, 12, those who do the will of the devil are called children of the wicked one. In other words, you're doing the will of the devil when you refuse Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, God's will for us is that we pray, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Notice in verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, rejoice evermore. We're to be happy. We're to rejoice. But then it goes on to say in verse 17, pray without ceasing. That's God's will. It's obvious that this verse does not mean we should be uttering prayers continually, but rather to be continually in a prayerful attitude and never to stop the regular practice of prayer. We should never faint, according to the Bible, and that is, we should never lose heart. If the answer isn't what or when we hope, we keep on praying anyway. To pray without ceasing means simply to be free to communicate quickly with him, with God, night and day. Always in an attitude of prayer. He says, if you abide in me. He said, and in my words abide, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. Well, to pray without ceasing can also refer to persevering prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Dr. Henry Morse had this to say about that. He said, persevering prayer, not just for personal deliverance, but also in supplication for others, is the invisible but powerful weapon that assures that God himself, with his angels, is also fighting for us. Persevering prayer, not giving up. And we might also call this use the word importunity as an example of praying without ceasing. Now, we could say that to be importune is to be persistent or insistent. To make an appealing supplication or request persistently, insistently, asking repeatedly until something is accomplished. When Paul and Silas were thrown into the dungeon with their feet bound in stocks, and we think, how was it possible for them to sing praises to God in the middle of the night? Acts 16:25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. Can you see a rich benefit here from being able to pray to a sympathetic high priest, one who understands persecution, pain, and rejection, one who has been where we find ourselves many times in this life. Jesus is the trailblazer. He has gone before. As we pray to Him and to Him alone, without ceasing to pray to Him and Him alone, we can draw on His strength and His understanding of our frail attempts to do things on our own. And when we praise and ask Jesus to help us and others through difficult times, we can be assured He hears and will answer our prayers in one manner or another. To pray without ceasing is to pray with the confidence that God never ceases to hear our prayer. Well, God's will for us, for you, is that you give thanks. We are to give thanks for everything, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, in everything give thanks. Everything means the good, the bad, and the ugly. These are the good, bad, and ugly things that come our way. The good is the Lord. Psalm 107:8 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. What about the bad? The bad could be those who curse you and despitefully use you. In Luke 6:28 it says, bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. To despitefully use you means it comes as a shock, unexpectedly. Has someone ever hurt you unexpectedly? You didn't expect it? Well, that's what it's speaking of here. And after you have helped someone, they unexpectedly do something that is hurtful to you. That hurts. But God says that we are to pray. We are to give thanks for everything. Matthew 5:44, it says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Well, what about the ugly? Well, this could be a brother or sister in Christ we might consider to be a troublemaker, a talebearer, or just somebody we plainly do not like for one reason or another. Let me ask you, is everything about your body beautiful? You may think so, but others may not be so inclined as to say every part about you is beautiful. And so it is with members of the body of Christ. We may consider some beautiful and others as uncomely, or in other words, ugly. And I'm speaking of born-again believers who make up the church. And you can read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you can see and understand about the body of Christ. There's many members, and all members are not the same, but we need to pray for everybody, even the ugly. Well, why do we need to give thanks for everything? The Bible not only tells us we need to give thanks for everything, it also tells us in many places why we need to be thankful for everything. We need to give thanks for everything because Psalm 92 and verse 1 says so, Psalm 79:13 says so, and Psalm 18:49 says so. Well, why do we need to rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and give thanks for everything? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and the last part of that verse says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.